are Radio Catskill.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Local Edition on a Friday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Roballo. Tonight, we continue our celebration of Hispanic Heritage Month with a special guest joining us is Miguel Colon. He's one of our former interns here at Radio Catskill. Last year, he was learning the ropes. Now he's out in the field working with a narrative journalism podcast, Radio Avalante. We're excited to welcome Miguel back to our airwaves to talk about his journey as a Latino journalist, the work he's doing with his new podcast, and his perspective on the relationship between Puerto Rico and the United States. Miguel, it's great to have you back. Thank you so much for joining us. And to start, let's give an update on what life has been like since your internship here.
Yeah, first of all, thank you so much for having me. It really is a privilege that you'd consider me for it. Yeah, so I was interning with Radio Catskill a few months ago, and now I'm working in a new show from Radio Ambulante Studios, iHeartMedia, called The Moment. It's hosted by Jorge and Paola Ramos, which are like two giant figures in Latin American journalism. And so they started a new chat show, booking guests and people who are just like a big appeal to people from Latin America or Hispanics here in the U.S. who also want to listen to stuff in English. The main language on the show is English, which it's something new both for Radio Ambulante and Jorge Ramos. I'm working there as an assistant producer, helping the whole production process, prepping, booking. Very similar to what I used to do in Radio Catskill, which is fun too, because I had a lot of practice with you guys. And so that's what I've been doing. I've also been working on pitching stories. I produced a story over the summer about salsa music and all that. So yeah, so that's what I've been up to and really enjoying it.
And one of the things one of the reasons why I want you on also is you're from Puerto Rico, born and raised, and I just want to talk that experience. You're going back and forth from the island to here to work in the States. And while it's still part of America, Puerto Rico's is a very different vibe than the States. Not only in politics, what's going on in politics, but just the different everyday life there. Just want to see what has been, in your view, the reaction to what's going on in America, in the mainland, as far as politics goes concerned. Are there discussions happening? I know Bad Bunny is out there and yeah, he's doing his thing. But as far as the everyday person in Puerto Rico, is it in the headlines there as much as it is over here?
Oh, definitely. By being a territory and a colony of the United States, sometimes it's not that it feels, but Puerto Rico mainly is always paying a lot of attention to what's happening in the U.S., even more to what happens in islands surrounding Puerto Rico, which is a thing that to me is very interesting. Everything that happens in politics, especially on a federal level, people pay a lot of attention to it because we never know exactly how that will affect us entirely. So we pay a lot of attention to what's happening in Congress, you know, bills that are being discussed. Recently, you know, with everything that's happening with Trump's second presidential administration and how that affects Puerto Ricans. Yeah, we do. We pay a lot of attention to it. Of course, you know, right now Puerto Rico is on the headlines because, you know, like Bad Bunny's residency, which I went to over the summer and it was great.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was good. And a lot of light is being shed here in Puerto Rico. So yeah, we tend to pay a lot of attention to what's happening in the U.S., especially if it concerns a lot of diaspora communities in and around the U.S. too.
You want to talk a little bit about what's happening with Bad Bunny and his activism through his music and how it's put Puerto Rico back in the headlines because of it?
Yeah, definitely. The thing that's very interesting about Bad Bunny is that he's picking up themes and stuff from our culture that a lot of young people weren't used to, like, being proud of it. A lot of people are proud of being Puerto Rico, but there's a lot of things in our culture and our identity that felt like a cliche. We have La Juana, which is like the hat that he's now using a lot. When I was in Puerto Rico over the summer and I went to the airport, there were a lot of people who were not Puerto Rican having dressing in the classic Jibaro style, which was very interesting. So seeing younger audiences, younger people embrace that part of our traditions and cultures is very interesting, especially when you take into account younger generations in Puerto Rico have gone through a lot of stuff. Hurricanes, earthquakes, political turmoil, everything, pandemic
too.
So in a fiscal crisis, and seeing them after all that, still being proud of being Puerto Rican, still embracing all culture and wanting to have a better lifestyle for future generations is interesting. And I'm pretty sure that's why people like really admire Bad Bunny, because he's like promoting that message over and over and over again. And also, not for nothing, that residency of concerts in Puerto Rico is really helping the island's economy. A lot of tourism, like a lot of places that you normally wouldn't see tourists in Puerto Rico, you would see a lot of people. You would. I got used to like speaking English again because I saw so many people that were not Puerto Rican in Puerto Rico. So that was really interesting and certainly a historic moment, especially after many years of turmoil.
Yeah. And a lot of things he talks about, like in his songs, about the blackouts and the privatization of like resources and things like that. There are issues that have been ongoing, but it seems like his music is bringing it up to the forefront and bringing a new generation under that. It's exposing some of those things to people who might not know.
Yeah, definitely. It's like he's an ambassador. And not only that, because it's one thing for people to know about Puerto Rican culture, Puerto Rican, what's happening in Puerto Rico, but he's also about the slang that normally that comes from Puerto Rico, and people don't normally know it comes from Puerto Rico. It's also interesting. I'm a journalist. I talk to a lot of people in and around New York, and sometimes they talk to me about stuff about Puerto Rico, about certain places in Puerto Rico that are not really that commonly known, and they learned it through his music. Also about history. And also, there's this thing he does where he samples like a lot of salsa music or samples from iconic salsa songs. So through his music, he's also teaching people about like other very influential artists, especially that come from Puerto Rico, but have a lot of influence throughout Latin America.
Now, you know, some of the things you work on, I don't know, but one of the themes that I wanted to talk about in this Hispanic Heritage Month is obviously celebrating the cultural significance and the achievements that Hispanics have done in America. But also, we're in a time that Hispanic folks, like people from Latin America, are being targeted by immigration and ICE. Is that some of the things that you cover in your new position as far as Radio Adelante goes? Are you tackling those type of subjects?
Oh, definitely. I think it's the idea is to like push higher power to take accountability and make sense of the moment. The show's called that, The Moment. It is definitely like a theme that I personally give a lot of priority, especially because it doesn't affect immigrants here. It also affects them in Puerto Rico. It is a topic that keeps coming up. It is something that we'll be talking about more and more throughout the season, which started this past Wednesday. So yeah, definitely. It's one of our main priorities and main topics that we'll be discussing throughout our show.
Yeah. Now, we're not only journalists here in America, but you were a journalist for some time in Puerto Rico. And in my experience in being a journalist, I first started out being a journalist in the Bronx in New York. And I lived there many years up until that time and thought I knew my borough and the city. But when I became a journalist is you start seeing a lot of other things that you weren't expecting, finding out stories that you didn't know existed, struggles that folks are having. Did you have a similar experience of a report in Puerto Rico that opened your eyes and made you learn more about the island and the struggles that folks are going through?
Oh, definitely. Even interacting with people as a journalist, sometimes they would ask me questions and they would. Being a journalist in Puerto Rico, especially in the past 10 years, was an interesting experience, to say the least. I had to cover hurricanes, earthquakes, pandemics, everything. You do learn a lot about what Puerto Rico is, what Puerto Rico was, and it gives you the opportunity to like also explain more to people who don't necessarily know about our history. Now, coming to here in New York specifically, I learned a lot that not a lot of people know, things that I thought were common knowledge, especially with our territorial status being a colony of the United States. People always, they mistake me for an international student, for example. And they always ask me questions about visas and stuff, because I'm doing a graduate program at NYU right now. Currently, I'm in my third semester. So I've had to explain a lot in about what Puerto Rico is, about our history. A lot of that comes from the experience I have as a reporter, as a journalist, where I have to simplify stuff about Puerto Rico. So yeah, I had that same experience, but also coming to New York, I also, there's a lot of history about the diaspora that I didn't know. The influence that Hispanics, that Puerto Ricans, Cubans, Colombians had in New York City. For example, I didn't know that Puerto Rico, the Fania All-Stars, for example, they did a huge concert at the Yankee Stadium, which is a story I did. It was huge. And I didn't know that was a like actual thing that happened. But yeah, it has helped me connect more with being Puerto Rican, with other Puerto Ricans in the city, in the U.S. It's been a great experience, especially with connecting with other Hispanics and Latinos too. I definitely feel more Latino than I did back when I was in Puerto Rico. So that's interesting.
No, definitely. And that's something I'm starting to explore myself, the diaspora, because this connects to my family. My mother came over during that time, and it was, or a lot of it was because of cheap labor. She ended up working in the factories in New York, making purses, putting zippers on purses. And that was her sort of her job. And I've always heard the stories, stuff like that, but I didn't really know, as I grew up multicultural. I'm half Ecuadorian, half Puerto Rican, and it wasn't taught in school where I went to in the Bronx about the history of Puerto Rico and the rough relationship that America has with Puerto Rico, going from Spain, going straight into another colonist regime, basically, and the history of how Americans have exploited, the government has exploited Puerto Rico. Obviously, you know more than me as far as you lived on the island, things like that. But even growing up, it wasn't always something that's taught. It's always, I found it's bits and spurts of information. And as I get older, I'm learning more. There's a book I'm about to read soon. I'm looking up on the online. I forgot the name of the book. But it talks about the Puerto Rican experience and the diaspora post coming in. And it's something I want to read because my mother spoke to me about a lot of it when I was growing up. And unfortunately, wasn't paying attention to it. At that time, I just didn't care. I don't know when I was a younger person because I didn't have the connection to Puerto Rico. Like I lived in Puerto Rico for a couple of months as a kid, but I wasn't as close to my Puerto Rican side as I was to my Ecuadorian side, just because my father was the more dominant one in our family. And so after I got to college and my mother got sick and caring for her, the Puerto Rican side came together, supported the whole family and that aspect. And that's when I became more interested in the Puerto Rican side of my family, more of the history. And after my mom passed away, I was able to go back to Puerto Rico and visit my great aunt, who my mother is named after and who is now my daughter is also named after. And went back to the island. My mom was from Adjuntas. And, you know, back to where, you know, when she went to school, my aunt walked the bus around the town to see, you know, where my mom went to school and things like that. And it's just, I wanted to be more connected to that side of family, just because not only the history and the culture that comes out of it is just because of this colony of America took over Puerto Rico and so the exploitive of the people, the culture. I don't know where I'm going with this. I don't know if this is a question or statement, but it's just that, you know, my experience with Puerto Rico and how I want to reconnect to it. Because, you know, when I go to Puerto Rico, when I have been to Puerto Rico recently, it's been as a tourist. I don't, you know, I call myself Puerto Rican, but I don't feel that connected to the island. And it's not until, like I say, after my mom's passing that I sort of really want to reconnect with the island and explore my roots and things like that. So
yeah, and it's a different experience from the island and living on the island. As someone who lived through it, I have learned to reject that idea of, oh, you have to go through this checklist of stuff in order to consider yourself being Puerto Rican, mm-hmm. and just simplify it to like, if you're from Puerto Rican parents and you feel Puerto Rican, then you are. And I don't want to stray too further from the main conversation, but I think what I need to speak as a Hispanic journalist, that public media is the one place where I've always gotten a chance to talk about those subjects. And public media, public radio, such as this one, have always given me a chance to speak on subjects and topics that I think should be spoken about. And normally when I look for outlets that are speaking about things that matter to me as a Puerto Rican, not only in what's happened in Puerto Rico, but also our culture, also our music, public media is always there. There's always like a search result that into public media. So I think it's very important also to recognize just how important public media is to understanding and to connecting with a culture, being Hispanic, Latino, Puerto Rican, you name it.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because that's an idea I had in my head recently. I'm going to do another host from Latino USA, the host from Latino USA. And I want to tell her public media, her podcast and podcasts like hers has really got me into public media. Because growing up, it wasn't part of what's going on in my world in the Bronx. It's just my parents didn't listen to NPR or anything like that. But it wasn't until growing up in college, and past college, finding podcasts and seeing how those are connected to public media. And that's where those stories are being told. Now, I had a question for you. You're born in Puerto Rico. You're an American citizen legally. Do you consider yourself American in any aspect?
I always say I'm Puerto Rican. I don't know. It's not that I'm not American or not. I feel Puerto Rican. Mm-hmm. Of course, especially in when it comes to talk about sports, for example, Puerto Rico has its Olympic delegation. And it's always like an uncomfortable topic to talk about openly because in a way, yeah, I'm American. I have American citizenship, but I always just say I'm Puerto Rico. Sometimes that means I have to reject and say, no, I'm not American. I'm Puerto Rico. And or not even reject, but make that distinction that you're Puerto Rican. But yeah, I'm living in America and I do have that benefit that I'm a U.S. citizen. Yeah, but I always make the distinction that I'm Puerto Rico.
We'll be right back. You're listening to The Local Edition on a Friday evening, and we are celebrating Hispanic Heritage. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Oigan, mi gente, lo más grande de este mundo siempre me hacen sentir un orgullo profundo.
You are listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
Trump seems to be getting everything he wants or most of what he wants from the Justice Department. And, you know, look, what he wants clearly in the Comey case and clearly in other cases is he wants retribution.
I'm Michael Barbaro. That's Today on the Daily from the New York Times.
Welcome back to The Local Edition on a Friday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Roballo. We're going to continue our conversation with Miguel Colon. He used to be one of our interns here at Radio Catskill, but now he's out working in the field and we're going to continue our conversation and what it means to be a Latino journalist. I begin this segment with my experience of growing up in the Bronx and how Puerto Ricans are sometimes viewed in New York City from other Latinos. Like I'm half Puerto Rican and half Ecuadorian. And in my experience growing up, there was a sort of a hierarchy and of where you came from. And sometimes Puerto Ricans could be, and I asked this to Miguel, sometimes Puerto Ricans can be viewed as the lesser of Latinos because they're part of America. And I just wanted to sort of see what's Miguel's perspective on that. Him being born and raised in Puerto Rico but also working here in the United States, and then that relationship between the United States and Puerto Rico.
It's a different experience growing up in New York than growing up on the island, especially this past few decades. Is it reporter, journalist, or whatever? I always try to be like, just connect with people, even if they didn't grow up around the island or in the island. I don't know. But there is a very stark difference. But you can't exclude people just because of different experience. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm more accepting. But if you consider yourself like we connected, through that part of your heritage of being Puerto Rican. Right. I don't see you as a different type of Puerto Rican. You are Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
It's the same as being American. You can come from a bunch of different places and you'll be American. So why should I
change
or why should I be different, any more different when it comes to being Puerto Rican? It's a different experience, but you're still that, no?
Yeah.
I don't know. Excluding people just because of that, I think it's preposterous and ridiculous.
Yeah. I think times have changed, but that's how it was growing up.
It's reading a book. You know how sometimes you're reading a book or someone tells you, you haven't read that book? Really? Mm-hmm. I'd rather be different and be like, oh my God, you're going to have the greatest time exploring that book. You're going to have a great time and just encourage people to learn more instead of excluding.
What is maybe one or two misconceptions that maybe folks have about Puerto Rico nowadays? The obvious to me is what I get a lot is that a lot of people are surprised that Puerto Rico is part of America, which is, I thought it was common knowledge, but some parts of that, I spoke to some people were oblivious that Puerto Rico is part of America.
Yeah, I do get
that. Let's just say the United States, because America.
I get that, especially talking with other international students or just international people who are from Europe or different parts of the world. When it comes to people who were born in America, or just normal Americans, there's a few things, but it's just tiny things about our culture. Normally, when I talk to other Americans, they try to pick a new subject that they heard. Puerto Rico has been on the news a lot over the past decade. But funnily enough, they tend to think that every Puerto Rican knows like how to dance, for example, which is a thing. Yeah, it happens. But I think it's more about, I don't know, it's very interesting. I think because of the attention that we've been getting, a lot of people are generally learning and are paying more attention to what's going on there. So I think that's good. But yeah, it's just little small details that they just provoke like a smirk or a laugh. That's it, really.
Right. Now, as far as you're reporting down, I just wanted to give you a chance to sort of promote some of your the work that you've done. You talked to Neil Fair about a recent episode that just came out you have with the mayoral candidate for New York City.
Yeah, our first episode launched on September 17th, which was my birthday, so I was celebrating.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. That's awesome.
Yeah, our first episode launched. It was an interview with the NYC mayoral candidate, Sora Mamdani. And here's why I think the show is quite different from other outlets. By talking to Latino journalists, they're going to talk about Latino issues. They're not just going to go through the same old subjects, reacting to stuff about his political rivals and stuff. But throughout the episode, and I encourage your audience to listen to it, we talked about also like how he sees other political figures from other Latin American countries, for example. And we talked a bunch of issues that I think a lot of people who are Latino or like interested in Latino communities are going to enjoy. We have a few episodes coming up. I don't think I'm in the spot to say who's going to be our next guest. But yeah, we're focusing heavily on like Latino issues, things that affect the Latino demographic. And I'm really excited for what's to come over the next season.
And let me ask a question. This is the thing, coming out of the bed, going out, you're a journalist looking for work. Did you purposely look out, went towards Latino sort of news outlets?
I started like looking for general assignment reporting gigs. But I'll be honest, now that I'm here in New York and working on stories, I realize that the stories and the issues that I want to talk about are issues that affect Latino communities. Whenever I'm thinking of a story or whenever I'm thinking of a topic that I might want to pitch or work on, it's something based on my experience. It just so happens that experience relates a lot more to Latino communities, which is the thing that happens. And working as a journalist, even when I'm pitching to like regular outlets, I feel like I have to work around something about Latino issues. It's a thing that it took me by surprise because working as a reporter in Puerto Rico, you work on stories that are relevant to Puerto Ricans, to people consuming local news in Puerto Rico. So now with just such a vast opportunity, just the chance to work on so many stories, realize, almost every story that I work on has to do with Latino communities, not only as a student or as a journalist, but when I was interning in Radio Catskill, the stories that I worked on were very relevant to Latinos. So, all right, I think it just happened, and I'm glad that it happened now that I think of it, but yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I'm glad you are part of the organization like that, just because much like up here and what I've noticed in newsrooms and what I have heard in other places, conferences that I've went to for diverse journalists, is that sometimes if you don't have a person of color or diverse person in the newsroom, sometimes those stories don't get told because the folks in charge may not know that it's an important thing to cover, or it is a topic or subject matter that people do care about. And the Hispanic and Latino community is a growing community, not only in New York City, but up here in Sullivan County. According to the latest census, the population is doubled here in Sullivan County. And a majority of the folks here who are Hispanic and Latino are migrant workers, working in the factories, working in the farms that we have up here. And I don't want to classify that as all we have here, because I don't work in the farm and I don't work in the factory. But there is a growing community here, not only of the workers, but other Latinos who are coming up from the city and making a home up here. And so I'm glad you are there and you are working on stories, telling stories that have to be told that maybe some organizations may overlook.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Let me go. So anything else that you want to talk about as far as Hispanic Heritage Month? Is this a month? Granted, there is a dark cloud right now, I feel, over the Latino community, especially what's happening with immigration and ICE. I just interviewed someone yesterday, a local activist, a Latina activist, who's telling me about a raid that happened about 2 weeks ago here locally. And then I just spoke to another one in Ulster County, the youth director there, who's telling me about another ICE raid, immigration raid that's happening in Kingston, and just talked about the feeling that we get as far as not belonging here when you see these people who are being rounded up who look like you. And that's the feeling now. It's like, well, I am American and I was born in the Bronx, New York, didn't live anywhere else except Puerto Rico a couple of months. It's a strange feeling walking around because I do feel, and this is me personally, this is how I feel. I do feel not out of place, but I feel that not embedded in the country as I used to feel. And I don't know if that's just because the way things are going politically and the rhetoric that's going on, spewing the white supremacists or whatever is going on. I don't know where I'm going with that, but
no,
that's the feelings that we get, that a lot of the community is afraid to go out there. Like, I was talking with someone in Ulster County, they're doing a Hispanic Heritage Month in Kingston, and they almost canceled because a lot of folks were afraid that there was going to be raided or something like that. They had to sort of reassure them, their sheriff, who is Latino, reassured the community that they're not cooperating with ICE or anything like that, and try to give the community a space that they can feel safe to come out and celebrate.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't have like a very specific answer, but I will say, I think this moment calls for community, for a lot of solidarity, not only between communities, but also like between newsrooms. And with that, it's a reason why public media is so important, because you guys talk to those specific communities, and that's why you should support your local public radio station, support your local public media, take care of your community, take care of yourselves. And yeah, I think that's it. Try to support your community as much as you can.
We'll talk to Miguel Colon, journalist. What's worked here for Radio Catskill, but now working for Radio Hablante.
Really appreciate it.
I do appreciate you coming on. I do appreciate you taking time for this. And like I said, I always liked your reporting. I'm glad you're out there in the field working. And it's, you know, like we need more Latino and Latina reporters out there to tell the story the correct way, factually way, and from experience, and from a different view than we have now in the establishment. Again, thank you so much. I do really appreciate it.
And that does it for the local edition tonight. Thank you so much to my guest, Miguel Colon. We're going to have more interviews coming up for the rest of Hispanic Heritage Month. Again, I've been your host, Patricio Roballo. Everyone, stay safe out there. Anyone going to the Big Eddie Film Festival that's going on now, I'll be there on Saturday night. Come check out Radio Catskill's production of Catskill Talks, the production that I did with Site B Studios, looking to exploring the artists, some artists up here in Sullivan Catskill. So don't miss it. That's happening on Saturday at 4 p.m., 4:30 or 4 p.m. Check your schedule at the Big Eddie Film Festival. Again, and if you haven't heard, congratulations to the editorial staff. We won some awards yesterday in Binghamton. Thank you to Kimberly Izar, Jason Dole, Ronald Kelson, everyone else here, Mimi Bradley and Tim Bruno. Thank you so much for everything and the support that you give the local edition. We won 5 awards, so check out our social media. If you haven't seen the newsletter, check out WJFFradio.org to sign up to the newsletter to get this information right in your inbox. Thank you so much. Lucy, have a good night. Everyone else, stay safe.
WJFF Jeffersonville. This is Radio Catskill. Local news, culture, and NPR.